Well, it's just a normal episode of the podcast. I'm just waiting for Vince. I feel very safe. I don't see any shadows moving behind me. Just, you know, waiting around very casually.
Smoke bomb, surprise!
Ah! Where'd you come from?
Oh, I came from the shadows, just like this month's Tokyo Treat Box, Aaron, which is something I want to share with you and the listeners, so you can experience Japan from the comfort of your own home through these delicious snack boxes. And Tokyo Treat, if you don't know, is a monthly snack subscription box where you get up to 20 different kinds of snacks, limited edition and seasonally flavored Japanese snacks, including Japanese instant ramen and drinks that are only available in Japan for a limited time. And this month's snack is as surprising as I just was.
So very, very surprising.
That's right. And Tokyo Treat is prepared to take you on a ninja snack venture. Adventure into Japan's most elusive and mysterious world of ninjas. This month's Tokyo Treat is packed full of sneaky surprises of savory and sweet ninja-inspired treats. Explore this thrilling history and hidden flavors only found in this month's box. Believe it.
I believe you can tell me more about what's in this box.
Oh my God. Here are some ninja highlights. Kit Kat chocolate orange, spicy ramen noodles, katana candy sword, strawberry doyaki, and, oh, I already mentioned this, but it's time to try that golden Nebula Fresh apple juice. Hold on, get it close to the mic for this pop. Ooh.
I know ninjas are usually silent, but we need to hear this drink.
Wow. That's really good. I'm always surprised how good it is.
As advertised, a surprising delight.
Yeah.
Now, Vince, you know me. I won't watch any show about ninjas despite your best efforts. So how am I going to know what's in this box?
Surprise! Booklet. Every Tokyo Treat box comes with a booklet that explains what's in the box, a little bit of the culture, or what's on theme, so you learn about ninja culture and a little bit of ninja history, along with what's in all these delicious snacks. And boy, Aaron, do I love these snacks. They're so good. I'm going to take another sip of this golden apple juice. Mm-hmm.
You know us. We love Tokyo Treat. It's a delightful gift. Friends, family, coworkers love it. I mean, I can't wait to get mine so I can practice my snackano jutsu.
Oh, Aaron, these snacks are so good. I rasengan a get more. Smoke bomb away.
Look, while Vince is off snacking, I'll tell you that if you want your own Tokyo Treat box, you just got to go to team.tokyotreat.com/Kame. Use the promo code Kame, that's K-A-M-E, like the show. And if you do that, you'll get $5 off your first Tokyo Treat box. Use the link. It's here on the screen. It's in the show notes. Tokyo Treat, it's great. Now I'm going to... Wait, let's see if I can smoke bomb away. Poof. It didn't work, but that's fine. I still have treats.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Kame House Party for another week. I'm back. That's right. Vince is back. Oh, yeah. That's me.
Oh, yeah. I'm Aaron. I'm back, too. You know what? I'm also back. I don't want to be left out.
Guess who just got back today? Those wild-eyed boys that have been away. That's right. I'm far enough away from chemo that I could do a podcast.
The most physically taxing task there is.
I kid you not, I'm going to need a nap after this.
it's not the podcasting.
Oh no.
It's the comedic maneuvering. mm-hmm. and acrobatics mm-hmm. we do on this podcast.
That's right, because you are listening to the world's bestest and number one improv world's bestest and number one improv comedy Dragon Ball Watch Along podcast, and we've got another great episode of Dragon Ball Z to cover. But before we do that, we've got a little piece of Kame housekeeping we have to do at the top of every show to get ready for the show. So, are you ready for the first piece of Kame housekeeping, which is the world famous UN sanctioned 1 minute roundup, thumbing through a big book sound like that?
Your father kept these secrets from you for a reason, child.
Okay. But I need to know the secret of the tomes now, Elder. There's no time. The kingdom is at stake.
You are not ready for the truth in these 7 volumes.
What truth could I not be ready for? I am but a man. This is my kingdom. Give me that.
As the new king, I cannot stop you, but if I can maybe give you a preview of some truths so you can maybe judge for yourself before
Fine.
Cracking
make
them
it,
open.
Make it quick.
All right. All right, that one won't count. First truth, moon landing never happened. You're clutching your pearls in shock. That's right. It was filmed on a soundstage by Mr. Stanley Kubrick himself. Oh, I'm surprised you know who he is.
And
scene.
Is it okay if I title that scene The Burden of Knowledge?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I think that works. And that, listeners, is our improvised scene that we do at the top of every show to loosen or tighten our improv muscles for whatever this show may call for during our discussion of the next episode of Dragon Ball Z. And I had fun with that one. I really did. I haven't gotten a chance to yell into a microphone in a while.
Yeah, you've just been yelling at cats.
Oh, yeah. Me and these cats, we're doing scene work all day long.
It's meep, meep, meep.
Oh, man. That is so sad that I'm like, oh, I could do that with them.
You could throw some meows around, yeah.
That's right.
They'd get it.
I'd get some back, too. That's the best part.
Mm-hmm. Make eye contact.
It's not. Best parts of this podcast are arguable because there's another piece of Kame housekeeping that we have to get to, and that is the 1 minute roundup proper. Aaron, I'm sorry if I'm jumping into this, but I want to get to it. I want to hear you round up and summarize everything that has happened in Dragon Ball up until this point. You have 60 seconds, and we do this so you, the listener, don't have to go back and watch every single episode of Dragon Ball Z or Dragon Ball, or listen to every single episode of the podcast, though we know you do, so we're not going to stop you. Now that I have that out of the way, Aaron, I have one question to ask you. Are you ready to round up?
Yes, I am. And here we go. Dragon Ball is about 7 magic crystal balls. If you collect them all, you get any ones you want. It stars a little monkey boy named Goku. He does karate. He stops evil jerks from taking over the world using Dragon Ball. He makes friends while journeying for the Dragon Ball. He grows up, defeats Demon Kings, finds love, has a kid, finds out he's an alien from space, is killed by his brother, goes to heaven to get stronger, comes back, defeats more aliens from his home planet, goes to another planet to get more Dragon Balls because his homies died, He fights the baddest dudes in the universe. He becomes a legendary Super Saiyan. He comes back to Earth only to realize that, oh shit, time's fucked. There are androids coming. He has a heart attack. He gets better because of future pills. It turns out the androids are the wrong ones and there are new ones. But then another guy comes and he's like, I'm an insect that sucks up dudes. And so he's like, I'll train for a year with my son in a chamber while my friends try and fight this grasshopper guy who's perfect.
Perfect grasshopper guy. That's a new name for Cell.
The platonic ideal of grasshopper.
The perfect life form. Well, Aaron, thank you so much for sparing me the need to do a one-minute roundup after so much time off. And thank you for summarizing everything so beautifully.
Thank you.
And with that done, we can get into the final piece of Kame Housekeeping, where I tell you, the listener, that Aaron and I watched two different versions of the show. I watched the English dub version, while Aaron watches the Japanese language English subtitle version, because comparing and contrasting is fun, and we've been doing it for almost a decade, and we won't stop now. And that leads me to tell you that I usually have the honor of going first in displaying the difference in the title. It's usually the first thing that is different. So here comes the title for this week's episode of Dragon Ball Z. Episode 162 of Dragon Ball Z. Trunks ascends.
Yeah, he does.
What's he doing yours?
Well, in my episode, he does a little bit more than that, because my title for episode 162 of Dragon Ball Z, roughly translated, is Breaking Through the Boundaries of the Super Saiyan, Trunks Summons a Storm.
Trunks Summons a Storm?
Mm-hmm.
God, I really missed out this week. That's a great title. And oh man, now we can really start talking about this week's episode. Where do we want to start?
Well, I have a highlight from the narrator during the recap. As we know, Vegeta is he's getting punked a little bit.
Oh yeah.
And the narrator ends his recap by saying, "Super Vegeta is in an ultra pinch."
Good. That's very good, because I have no highlights from the recap on this one. And I've said this before, but the Cell Saga, my favorite saga in Dragon Ball history. And it's because of episodes like the one that we're about to talk about. And all the previous episodes that I missed, so 158, 59, 160, and 161, some of the most bonkers episodes of Dragon Ball, that are so filler-coded that it's obvious. I just have to highlight my favorite thing of the past couple episodes that I didn't get a chance to talk about on this show, is Krillin's decision. He's so down bad, it's making his head spin. And his head spins, Aaron, for two scenes. And it's wonderful.
You've been in love.
I have been. You were there. You were at my wedding where I couldn't stop spinning because I was in love.
Well, you had that remote. You're like, do I end this before I get married to save the world?
People thought I was observing a Jewish marriage rite by breaking that remote. Oh no. I spared my wife's life.
That's not what I did. I was raised Mormon. I'm not familiar.
Every culture is different. just like this fighting culture is different.
All right, audience, Vince, if I ever get married, I won't say Mazel Tov at the end, which I think puts it in the clear, but I will break a remote at the end.
I can't do it.
If we both do it, I think it's good.
Yes.
This is the new, like, look, this, we need to implement this. You weebs getting married.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Black culture, I jumped the broom when I got married. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I realized I could have also stepped on a remote control. And look, weebs and nerds, it could be any kind of remote control, an old PlayStation controller, just some kind of remote control that you can vow to save your beloved.
Think of the cottage industry popping up, where they're making these custom show-accurate remotes with just a big shiny button.
A button so big you can push it with two fucking hands. Somehow when he steps on it, he misses the button. Oh, God. Enough about Krillin.
Yeah,
we gotta talk about Vegeta kicking Cell, Perfect Cell, or P Cell in the head.
You mean Vegeta, him flashing back to it from the episode previous?
From the recap, you mean? I love that Vegeta's, I put everything into that kick. God damn it, Vegeta. Damn it, Vegeta. The whole time I was watching, getting caught up on these episodes, I was just going, damn it, Vegeta. Damn it, Vegeta.
Yeah, he's really messing up here.
And I don't think that even if Krillin had hit the button, since it would have only immobilized or shut down 18, it wouldn't have stopped Cell from absorbing her.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah. Plus, I don't think Krillin is strong enough to kill 18 even if she couldn't move. Anyway.
I was thinking of some sort of weird horror crux situation, but that's gross and nasty. Because she is mostly human.
She's mostly human, I know. Mm-hmm. But
I think what? Vegeta gets, as he's cursing his misfortune, he gets kicked through a bunch of mountains, which looks cool.
Oh, yeah.
And gets junked into the ocean.
Yeah, I love the fact that he tries to recover in Super Saiyan form, like upside down, and can just stop his momentum enough for him to fall into the water. Oh, Vegeta.
What is it? We have Krillin and Trunks watching on, and Krillin's like, screw it. What are you doing? Go help. I don't care about your dad's pride. Who cares if he gets mad?
Krillin, I just the pot kettle Krillin. But I like Krillin's perceptiveness in this episode. He's like, trust me, Trunks. He's hiding way more power than it seems. Just like you, buddy. Come on, bro. Flex. And I loved in this conversation that, like, Trunks is saying, I can't show my dad that I'm stronger than him because it would break him emotionally in a way that he's like, he's my dad. I can't do it. He also says, like, it's not out of malice that where the pride comes from. Trunks has like observed his father for long enough. He's like, it's not even like an evil sort of pride. It's more noble than that. That's what made my mom fall in love with him. And that's it. He's like, and I see that in him too. And Krillin's like, love. That was new before an hour ago.
So if I'm prideful, women will like me. Is there some sort of book he wrote that I could read?
Krillin, now's not the time.
I mean, if you're just going to charge up, if we're just watching.
Yeah, I'm so frustrated without being able to do anything for my father. And you want pickup lines, Krillin?
I mean, like, what did he ever tell you about how he got with Bulma? What were some of his moves?
I don't know. Some of the moves that he's using on the battlefield.
Like kicked her in the neck?
Krillin, I can't think about that now.
Okay, just think about your mom and dad making love. Come on.
Ugh! I can't even hold my Super Saiyan form.
That's
fair for a young man like me.
Yeah, think about baseball.
Oh no, Yamcha!
Now I've gone down in power level.
Cell, did someone say Yamcha? Ew. brother, ew.
Why are we talking about the Yamcha? I'm this close to forming a counterattack, and then this happens. Am I right, fellas?
Vegeta's just like, who? Just yelling, who is that? Who are we talking about?
That shadow that was around every corner when I was living at Capsule Corp. The source of teeth grinding.
That very large fly that hung out in Bulma's house with the scar. Is that him?
The person everyone pitied, including the robot lizard maids.
Ah, yes, Yamcha, the one with the brain smaller than the dinosaurs the briefs harbor.
Now, if you talk about Puar, my man.
Oh, that's the secret sauce. Vegeta and Puar are like best friends behind the scenes.
He's my movie buddy.
Hey, Puar, Lisan al-Gaib.
We both got the Dune bucket. He fit right in. It was hilarious.
He wore it like a skirt. We made everyone laugh.
I'm Shai Haloof.
I only post it to my close friends' stories, and Yamcha's not on it, of course. Or anyone, actually.
It's just Puar, Bulma, and his son from the future. Trunks, why is Puar CC'd on this email, Dad? Because he's a good person, Trunks.
Here's a picture of us watching Oppenheimer in IMAX.
We saw a double feature. I wore my pink Batman shirt, and Puar had a mini one.
Then we swapped out for fedoras. You better believe Krillin Vegeta and Puar Barbenheimered.
Oh, they Barbenheimered, and they talked about Nick Kroll more than any other actor in those two movies.
We saw, that movie with Harry Styles and also Nick Kroll. Don't worry, darling. There we go.
Yeah. Trust me, the only thing to worry about was not Nick Kroll's acting.
He needs more serious roles. He needs to stop being this clown.
Let my man breathe.
Also, Puar had a minor part as a 50s blender.
Mm-hmm. You can't find those.
No, but you could, they could only film for 5 minutes, of course.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Wait, no, that's Oolong. You're better than that, chump. My apologies.
No, I mean, that's in my rider.
Oh, just for convenience sake.
Uh-huh. My shapeshifter's pride.
Hey, you and me both.
And seed.
That could have gone on for a while.
That could have gone on forever.
I could be Vegeta talking about being talking about letterboxed.
Why?
Oh man, did you feel as bad as I did when 16 was like, "I'm gonna do something"? Android 16 is like sidling up to Cell, like, "I'm gonna backhand the shit out of this guy when he's not looking."
Yeah, it was very sad because Cell's like, "Don't even try it. You're a useless pile of junk."
Ooh, useless pile of junk. Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. So we're getting into one of the reasons why Cell is so good. It's because, like Frieza, Cell has some of the best one-liners and insults in the game.
This is an intelligent, refined Cell.
Mm-hmm. With an erudite nose.
Mm-hmm. He's got Fraser Crane insults.
Oh, yes. He went to graduate school to burn your ass.
Liberal arts, of course.
Oh, man. But we would be remiss if we didn't talk about the final flash that Vegeta uses on Cell. Once he realizes he's like not really a match for him, knowing like this is men will almost blow up the planet and some subsequent solar systems instead of admitting that he's weak. Because that's what happens. This is like a super famous Final Flash scene.
Yeah.
I think this is like the first Final Flash that Vegeta's ever used be the most powerful that he's ever used.
That's what I was thinking. I know they definitely steal this scene for, on Fighters Z, if you end the match with a Final Flash, they cut to like the same shot from space.
Oh, it's such a good shot. And the blast is so large. In terms of like having this episode has to match all of the theatrics of Cell's transformation from the last two episodes, which upon my rewatch, I felt like nobody talks about Cell's transformation as like one of the coolest in the show. Like the perfect Cell transformation was lost on me until I saw that it took two episodes, and then I was like, holy crap. The animation on it was crazy. And so then having to come back with, because you can kind of tell in this episode, they skimp on some of the fight choreography, and you're like, well, where is that going to go? And then all of it went into this one attack.
Yeah.
Like all the budget of this episode went into one attack. And it's very, very cool. And I hope that somebody might do some research for us and show us how strong that Final Flash was. Did it blow up a star, or was that just it flying away? That's what I want to know.
It seemed like it was something exploded in space when it left the Earth orbit. It seems like he's sucking a lot of light out of the atmosphere. Or he's just so bright in comparison with the power he's drawing.
Yeah, he's casting a shadow on the rest of the planet.
As he's charging up, he yells at Cell, and he's like, essentially daring him to take it head on if he's so strong, with another classic Vegeta line. If it's too much for you, you're nothing but a panty waste.
Ho, 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 ho! Dang, I haven't heard panty waist in a long time. But aren't we all, don't we all wear panty waist now? Because everything is cinched or
I think so.
Cuffed. It's more comfortable that way.
Yeah. B, if it's too much for you, I guess you're a comfortable clothing accessory.
Oh, man. Vegeta and Cell are like perfect foils, and it's great. but yeah, this Final Flash goes off. Very cool. We get a cut to Gohan and Goku training in the time chamber.
But after this cut to commercial.
Ooh.
Hey, Riley.
Yeah, Andrew.
Do you want to make a podcast ad?
I do, but what would we mention?
So I think that we could probably put together an ad for a show called The Podcast Minds. There, before the grace of pod, go we. You know, it's a podcast where we both pitch each other podcast ideas instead of doing one ourselves.
Yeah, it's a podcast pilot pitching project. Totally. We should mention that it's a comedy show, right? Where we throw out ideas like getting weirdly deep into the themes of Jumanji.
Is that one a podcast?
No. It's a podcast idea that is actually a front for me to talk to you about hyperfixations I got.
Oh, that's most of the things that you hit me with. What about instead if we just talked about all the different ways you could do a rewatch of Lost?
Oh, that sounds like you just did what I did, but you said it in a positive voice.
Okay, and along the way, what if we pitched ideas like, I don't know, Epic Rap Battles of Mystery, the Lin-Manuel Miranda podcast?
Listen to The Podcast Minds, there before the grace of pod, go we, on your podcatcher of choice on the Moonshot Network. Hi-ho!
Hi-ho! Every Friday.
You You can tell I'm out of practice because I jumped the gun on the commercial break. But it's only because I was so excited to see the only meaningful part of training that go on in Goku 2. where Gohan is able to control Super Saiyan power a little bit now.
Mm-hmm.
One of the coolest designs, character designs, is this version of Gohan with his hair cut, doing Super Saiyan shit, just training out on his own.
He's got the reverse mullet, where mm-hmm. it's party in the front, business in the back.
Business, Gohan is business in the back. And yeah, we just get like a nice little scene of Gohan and Goku interacting. They're still training. You've never seen Goku more proud of his son for damn sure. They have a little bit where they're making Goku's making lunch. He's like, hey, son, can you cook this meat up for me? Tosses it in the air. Looks like Gohan's able to cook it properly with a ki blast, but it disintegrates before his dear old dad can eat it. And this is how you know Goku's a good father, because we know how much Goku loves his meat.
Mm-hmm.
And for meat to disappear in front of him, draw the ire of Goku. But the real bit is that Goku's hair catches on fire while Gohan's trying to tell him. And Goku's like, no, don't change the subject now. We're talking about your training.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And so, then as it pans up, it does the whole, the Goku, okay. I'm on fire bit.
That explains something. So in mine, it's essentially that. But I've never seen Goku more dead-eyed than when that meat disappeared from him. I'm like, he is holding back so much.
So much rage. Goku almost unlocked Ultra Instinct. He had to hold back. His body would have moved on its own and punched whoever was in front of him for destroying that meat.
Super Saiyan 4 already.
Oh, my God. Give him that Super Saiyan 4 arm.
Yeah, I was a little confused at the yell at the end. I thought it would have been Goku with like, okay, yeah, his hair was on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he screamed. So that makes sense. I was a little, it was a little confusing on mine of like who was screaming.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I don't know. I miss, we've talked about this before, but we continue to miss the chubby baby young people, yeah, 11-year-old mm-hmm. designs. Because this buff child Gohan has cool hair, but muscles that make me shiver. It doesn't, every time it's just like, oh, no child should have that much muscle.
No, he's a little less swole mm-hmm. than in previous episodes, which I appreciate.
Yeah, nothing more awkward than that bath scene of two buff boys.
Giant men.
Splashing water about.
If you're muscular, you can't frolic.
Don't frolic in the bathtub.
It's unnatural.
Frolic in the weight room, your natural mm-hmm. environment.
Yeah. Toss weights around willy-nilly. Have a protein powder fight.
Oh, yeah. Ring kettlebells with your best guy or gal, gym pal.
Do fireman's carry while you skip.
Has it ever been more clear, audience, that Aaron and I don't go to the fucking gym enough?
Get the free pizza every Tuesday.
Hey! That's why Goku goes to Planet Fitness.
As someone who used to go to Planet Fitness... Look, when there was pizza, you know, I'll slam the pizza.
What else are you going to do?
Fox's, a local chain.
Ooh.
And you better believe they cut it into 16s. You have a full 8 pieces.
No, 8 slices. No, no, no. They can justify it by, guys, you're cutting calories. You're only having half a slice of pizza. Mm-hmm. Oh, fuck you.
Granted, I get it. You're eating more slices, so it's about the same.
But it's easier to track, guys, isn't it? No.
Why did I do that? What a nasty... Not why did I go to the gym? Why did I get this free pizza? It's just, I don't know how long it's been out on the, just right by the entrance.
Mm.
next to the smell of a gym.
You know what I love? Hot cheese and sauce and creatine powder wafting into my nose. We cut back to the aftermath of Vegeta's epic final flash.
Mm-hmm.
And Cell. Well, oh, go for it. Go for it.
I was going to say, just right when that planet gets blown up, is where we cut back to.
It's a great edit point. Mm-hmm. The extinguishing of hundreds of thousands of lives. As the dust clears, Cell is maimed and even says it. Ah, Vegeta, you maimed me. And you see his whole right side is gone. Toji style, Jujutsu Kaisen fans. This was the first. Cell did it first.
Did Toji, with his one half that's blown up, did it also turn into a butthole? A gray butthole?
No. No, it didn't, but I wish it did. This is why Dragon Ball will be better than Jujutsu Kaisen for all time. No, not enough buttholes.
Mm-hmm. When people get blown up, the little parts that are left should be circular in an iris. Bulbous.
But I my favorite thing is Cell being shocked that Vegeta actually hit him with the attack.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Vegeta, you actually hit me. And then Vegeta just laughs and laughs and laughs. Like 2 minutes of laughter from Vegeta, I think.
It's a lot of it.
It's a lot of it. And it's just, what is it? Because it's not necessarily like a counting clock. It's like Trunks can only stand to see his father either be knocked out or killed before he uses his own power that Krillin believes is strong enough to match Cell. Cell then is like quickly changes his tune, goes from like pain in his face to a little smirk, maybe a wink snuck in there, because guess who's the dummy now? It's Vegeta. Now that Cell has a nose, everyone else is stupid. He says, "Did you already forget that I have Piccolo cells inside of me?" And then pop goes the right arm, and he's back, fully restored.
In mine, he literally says, "Gotcha."
Oh, Cell is so well written.
Just kidding.
What if Cell with his only good hand is like points at Vegeta's shirt? Vegeta looks down, flicks him in the nose. Ha ha! Made you look.
I just made you look under there, Vegeta.
You make me look underwear. My pride!
You absolute fool. You just said underwear.
No! I'm a prince. I've ascended beyond a Super Saiyan. I can't say underwear.
Wait, hold on. Let me. Is there something on your face? I've got your nose, prince.
No!
And I'll never get it back.
No, please.
You're just like the bald one over there now.
No!
Hey,
there's one thing
bad.
A Saiyan always keeps. His nose!
Yeah, it's not that bad. I don't see what the big deal is. Some people might prefer a noseless face. People who are part cyborg, perhaps.
Not me. It's great having a nose and a cyber brain.
Yeah, Krillin, I'm going to take a break from being angry to say I love having a nose.
See, Krillin, we all love having noses.
No, well, give me Vegeta's while you have it. Come on.
Wait a minute, Krillin. What's this? What's that behind your ear? Ooh, a Zenny.
I could sure use that.
Oh, look at this girl, and it's disappeared.
he's too powerful, Trunks. Hurry up.
Oh, that was a weird Krillin Vegeta mix in my voice. I don't know what was going on there. I was glitching out.
He's glitching. Oh, man.
Yeah, what an absolute... Vegeta just getting clowned. What a fool.
I miss No-No's Cell. No-No's Cell raging like a baby for like six straight episodes, just going... It eventually, I think I got Stockholm syndrome because I was like, I like this. I'm going to go to sleep to this.
This should be it. But no, now he's schmarmy.
He's
refined. The all new sleek 2024 Cell.
Ooh.
Get a $159 lease per month with 3,000 down.
Just come on into your local Red Ribbon outlet.
What's it going to take to get you in one of these perfect babies?
Yeah, what's it going to take for you to get swallowed up by this tail?
This baby,
I'll talk to my manager right now. I'll give you a sweet deal.
This baby can fit so many androids in it.
Hey, you take the imperfect model, you can fit over 100 human beings in this thing. $600,000 miles a gallon.
Look, you look like someone who needs a little more class. Like, true, the imperfect has got a lot more power, a little beefier, but aerodynamically not the best.
You want something with a little pickup? You want that perfect cell.
Mm-hmm.
Zero to 60 in 3 seconds. It's a hybrid, you know.
Look, if you lose a tire, it just grows back.
With our new run flat technology.
Yeah. Look, it'll try and trick you and seem like it's totaled. Don't believe it.
Yeah, don't believe the AI assistant.
It'll just wait for it to say gotcha, then it'll be fine.
All you have to do is placate your car for a second and then
just play along.
Your car's jokes.
It's going to get to that point.
Right? Teslas are going to only unlock if you laugh at it at an Elon Musk tweet.
Okay. You must retweet this to get in.
I thought I had a passkey. No, you have to retweet.
Jesus.
Oh, man. Look, speaking of maniacal people building or trying to build robots. Cell pulls a full Terminator and slow walks at Vegeta through his desperate energy barrage. Then Cell does one of my favorite moves in all of Dragon Ball.
Ooh.
The old punt up into the sky. And usually that comes with a hammer, like a hammer swing back down to the ground. But instead, Aaron Cell gives the people what they want. And that's the people's elbow right to Vegeta's back from 30,000 feet.
Cell raises an eyebrow. Yeah. Can everyone smell what I'm cooking? Krillin, don't answer.
Oh, man. But I'm in love.
Get off. She's dead. Technically, you're in love with me.
Oh. Elbow drop me, daddy.
Not a pose.
Hey, remember when you killed me 2 episodes ago?
That was fun.
That was a big love tap.
Now I'm thinking you need some kind of therapy. Also, I'm trying to figure out my perfect cell voice. I know it's just plankton.
It's a round plankton. Where what's plankton? Crabs.
It was like that a little bit.
The Krabby Patty formula. The chum bucket. Eleanor, my Ooh. PC.
Is it just becoming Nixon again, like we had before?
Give me the secret sauce, Krabs. I've got you on tape. Whole new meaning to Watergate.
That's right. Crabs are selling secrets to the commies.
Crabs says, Crabs pulls a Jordan. The commies, they have money too.
Don't you get it? The Cold War. I'm playing both sides. Do I do a Popeye laugh? I forget.
He does.
Okay, good.
He does. He is a whale for a daughter. We won't get into it.
That's true.
We got to get into
the previous marriage. Adopted? What's the lore?
We don't have the time.
We don't have time for SpongeBob lore. I'm looking at the clock now. I think we have time for SpongeBob lore.
All right, fine.
Did Mr. Krabs fuck a whale? Or is this a blended situation? Is this an Adam Sandler?
I think this is probably an Adam Sandler.
Okay.
Where it's a blended situation. Once Pearl was able to drive on her own, Mom was like, I'm out of here. I gotta migrate. The seas are warmer up north, Krabs. Mm-hmm. I stayed with you just to give my daughter a stable environment as a calf to grow up in.
Mr. Krabs would never love his whale wife. Not as much as he loves money.
Ka-ching, ka-ching. And Trunks is ka-changing. It's only after Vegeta hits the ground and loses his Super Saiyan power, to which Krillin's like, Trunks, Vegeta's down, and he's lost his Super Saiyan power, which means one of two things. He's either knocked unconscious or he's dead.
There were two hits, Trunks. Cell hitting Vegeta and Vegeta hitting the ground.
And then we see the beginnings of Trunks's transformation into what I put in my notes. I put Super Saiyan Bulk. This new form gains the attention of P-Cell just before the end of the episode. And just before he was about to kill Vegeta.
Right as Linkin Park comes in.
Become so numb, I can feel you there. But Linkin Park and Dragon Ball Z go together, like
Linkin Park and Dragon Ball Z.
Linkin Park and Dragon Ball Z. It does. It's perfect. Because I can only imagine what music that we're missing from the original airing of this. Because in the American release, it was so much speed metal. They put speed metal in front of every anime because that's what they thought we liked. So, yeah. If you got the time, you got Linkin Park tracks, I don't know, just put it behind this entire episode. I think you'll hit like three big spots, regardless of the song you choose.
I'm surprised no one's done a Dark Side of the Moon and Wizard of Oz sort of thing. Ooh. Where it's like, what episode of Dragon Ball Z goes with Meteora, right? That's an album.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's an album.
Hybrid Theory.
I thought you were going to say what Dragon Ball scene goes with Ease On Down the Road, which is Oz. I know. I did not pull, the Tin Man song. I pulled a song from Oz.
You mean The Wiz?
I don't even know.
Keep on.
Yeah, The Wiz. I meant The Wiz.
Are you thinking about Michael Jackson?
Yeah,
I'm thinking of Michael. That's The Wiz. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's on. I know that song.
Oh, Vince, I knew exactly what you were talking about.
Thank you. God damn it. I can't believe I actually spouted Oz out loud. I hated that movie. I hated that movie. I really did.
It's a catchy ass song.
Oh, he's on down the road. Hell yeah! I mean, the Wiz, Wizard of Oz songs, top. Wiz number two. They got Oz, sort of, and I'm sure Wicked will come in and then replace Oz as number three. But gotta wait for that film adaptation.
You gotta wait for that two. It's two parts.
Oh God, I hate this. Why does Wicked need two fucking... I don't want an intermission. If I wanted an intermission, I'd go watch it on Broadway.
It's later. Yeah, somehow longer than the play.
That's messed up. That's so messed up. Just like the fact that Trunks has to save his own father for his own arrogance. Mm-hmm. We're all quickly forgetting that Krillin was a big part of why this all went south. Not the biggest part, mm-hmm. but he had a hand in the downfall of Earth. Did.
I just like the idea of Trunks hiding his Super Saiyan-ness because he doesn't want to do like certain chores. You know how it's like if you're just bad at it, a parent.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh yeah, that's men are being called out for that worldwide right now. Secrets out, boys. We got to start doing our chores. Men out there, I'm calling out all men out there. If you think you don't know how to do a dish, fuck you and do your dishes. Yeah, everybody do your fucking dishes.
Do a dish. Split it up.
You can't be bad at taking out the trash, man. It's two steps. Bag it and throw it.
As long as things are split, as long as there's equal share. Yeah. Doesn't have to be like split down the middle. Everyone's doing every chore.
Yeah.
But like, I get it. Garbage. That's me. Mm-hmm. I understand.
Yeah. Set it up. Make a chore wheel. Look, we can't get into this. We can't fix your relationships here on Kame House Party.
Just make sure it's even. That's all we're saying.
Make sure it's even. Unlike Trunks' power over his father. Uneven. Mm-hmm. Yep. Indexed to Trunks. I mean, that's really the end of the episode. We're spitballing for a hot minute.
Yeah.
But that's it. So I railed against there being intermissions in movies, but there's an intermission for this podcast. So you got to wait a week.
Week-long intermissions here.
A week-long intermission. This is experimental theater at its peak.
You better hope you can live off popcorn and goobers for a whole week. No,
don't
free
forget
refills.
Mini bottles of Fireball. Because you need to stay awake.
But yeah, let's close this bad boy up. Thank you all for listening and coming back. Vince, I'll let you speak to this. I think you'll be back when you're back.
I'll be back when I'm back. That's right, Aaron. I this weekend I had a bit of a lull in treatments and everything, so I decided to jump back on the mic for this. Bear with me as I may not be back next week, but you know, Aaron's got the con. He's taking good care mm-hmm. of the podcast. So thank you, buddy. And thank you, listeners, for continuing to tune in and supporting all the guests that have been on the show. Noah, Ian, Riley, and Max, thank you so much for stepping in here and riding this journey of Dragon Ball. I mean, not too much else to say about this episode. Again, the saga is so good. I can't wait for us to get into another tournament arc. It's going to be great. Mm-hmm. And whether you are... Oh, this is a tricky one. This is a tricky one. How do we put all this together? Whether you are... whether you are having a Saiyan dad or your nose is in and you look real rad, you gotta...
Keep fighting.
Yummy, yummy house party.